All right, we're in the book of Romans, and we're in chapter 6, and tonight we'll start reading at verse number 12, Romans chapter 6 and verse number 12. Last week we went through verses 1 through 11. So verse number 12 through the end says this: "Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The verses that we are looking at in this chapter, both last week and this week, have to do with victory over the old nature, all right? And in order to have victory over the old nature, there's three different words that stand out to me in this chapter. The first word is the word "no," and that's basically verses 1 through 10. We looked at that last week. Several things here that God wants us to know in verses 1 to 10. He wants us to know that you do not have to live in sin. He wants us to know that we died with Christ. He wants us to know that our old nature has been crucified. He wants us to know that a dead man is free from the power of sin. And he wants us to know that once we're dead to sin, we now have the power through Jesus Christ to live the Christian life. So these things are important for a believer, for a Christian, to know. And then the second word is the word "reckon," and that's verse 11. And basically two thoughts here: reckon yourself dead to sin, and secondly, reckon yourself alive unto God. So those two words, "know" and "reckon," very important as we consider sanctification. Sanctification involves you and I basically yielding ourselves to God and allowing him to live his life out through us. We have to make a choice. We'll talk a lot about that tonight in these verses. The third word is the word "yield," verses 12 to 23. Yield. And the word "yield" basically means to present for use. To present for use. Now, I want you to consider this with me, if you would, because we already read the verses, and we will go back over them. But if you notice carefully in these verses 12 to 23, it describes for us a little bit of a conflict for control. Conflict for control, okay? On the one hand, of course, and I'm going to do that to my left, on the one hand, you have our old nature, or sin, or we could say the world, the flesh, and the devil, whatever you want to use to whatever terminology you want to use to describe that. But this side over here, I'll just basically call sin. And then the side over here to my right is righteousness, okay? So sin on my left or righteousness on my left. Sin, of course, on my left, that is basically where the devil wants us to be. Righteousness over here on my right, that's where God wants us to be, okay? okay? And you and I in the middle, all right? So I have myself in the middle and my two arms out like this, and I have forces pulling on both sides at the same time, okay? And let's just say for the sake of this illustration that both sides are pulling equally. They want me to go to my left or they want me to go to my right, but they're both pulling equally, okay? What's going to make the difference as far as which side I'll be on? Well, what's going to make the difference is the word yield. And that's the word for these verses, verses 12 to 23. Yield. The Bible says, yield yourselves, you know, servants to righteousness. And he's saying, don't yield yourselves to sin. Okay? So you have both, you have forces pulling on both sides, and for sake of the illustration, equally, the one that's going to win is the one that I yield to. And the choice is mine. And that's basically what the Apostle Paul is saying here. The choice is ours to make. This idea that I couldn't help myself, that's not true. Because you're saved. And you have the Spirit of God living within you. And you now get to make the choice. Either I yield myself to sin and sinful habits and worldly things and things that basically would please my flesh and please the devil, or I yield myself to God and righteousness and good and godly and moral things, you know. But the choice is mine to make, okay? So in these verses here, you notice in your notes, remember the word yield, present yourself for use? First, there are things we should not yield to. According to verse number 12, do not yield to sin's control of your body. Let not sin, verse 12 says, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. I hope you don't think any less of me when I tell you this, but I've been saved for 51 years, and I still have a desire to sin. I'm being honest. The sin nature is still there. He hasn't died. He's still there. Okay? The difference is I choose, thankfully, I wish I could say 100% of the time, but I choose, thankfully, most of the time to not give in to that, to not yield to that, see, with the Lord's help, naturally. But do not yield to sin's control of your body. Would the devil like to have control over your body? Sure he would. He would love to have control over your body. Does that ever happen to a believer? I think it does to some people. But listen, it's because they yielded to that. They gave in to that. Both sides are being pulled upon. The one that's going to win is the one that I yield to, either one way or the other. See? Do not yield to sin's control of your body. Do not yield to lusts of your body. Lusts are just desires that we have. You know, people have these. It's part of our human nature. We have lust for our body, things that we want to do sometimes that aren't right. Do not yield to sin's control of your body. Do not yield to lusts of your body. According to verse 13, do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Verse 13 says, neither yield ye your members. That would be like your hands, your feet, your legs, your arms, your ears, your eyes, your mind. Do not yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Why is it that for many of us, I can't say all of us because I don't know that for absolutely sure, but I think for many of us, maybe most of us, why is it so hard to memorize a verse of the Bible, but we can remember a song that we heard 30 years ago? Isn't it true, though? I can be somewhere in a store or somewhere and I can hear a song and man, I can sing right along with it. I know the tune. You know, it even gets you moving a little bit, you know. But to memorize the Bible verse is hard work. It's part of that sin nature that's within us, see? And it has a tendency, and this is why we have to be careful, don't we? Because it has a tendency to grab us and pull us that way, see? You have to discipline yourself. I know it's a dirty word for a lot of people, but you have to discipline yourself not to give in to that, not to yield to that, see? Because you can go down the wrong path very quickly if you do that. So don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Remember I said members meaning hands, feet, legs, arms, ears. Talking about music. Ears, mind, eyes. Don't yield yourself. Boy, there's a lot of stuff today, isn't there, that grabs our attention through like our ears or through our eyes. Isn't there a lot? Isn't it amazing sometimes the things that they advertise on television? Things that not that many years ago you were almost embarrassed to talk about with your doctor. But now it's just right out there. I can't tell you how many times that Sarah and I might be sitting watching something on television and just a commercial comes on and I have to do one of these because she's sitting beside me. You know, we got a little love seat there. Because I'm not gonna stand there and stare at, or sit there and stare at the television set because of what's there. Turn and look at my wife and strike up a conversation. Usually she'll say, "What? What?" And then I'll do one of these. You know, "Oh, that's why you did that. Okay." But you have to be careful because Satan uses that, your ears and your eyes and your hands and your feet and your legs and your arms and so forth. He uses your mind and all kinds of things. Those are the members of our body, which the Bible says don't yield them as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. So he tells us here, according to verse 14, sin should not have dominion over you as a Christian. Verse 16, if you yield, you'll become sin's servant. Anybody here, maybe I shouldn't ask you this, but I will. Anybody here ever smoked cigarettes? Okay, all right. I did too. That's why I had my hand up. Sarah remembers, I tried hard. While I was a smoker, I tried hard to get her to smoke. I couldn't. I'm glad, because she never had to try to break the habit. But after being saved, and it took me about, I got saved in 73, it took me till 75 to get the victory over that. God helping me, of course, I give him all the glory for that. But 2 years of struggle trying to get over that and get past that, and I haven't had a cigarette now since 1975, and I'm very happy for that, especially because of the price today, right? But it's a nasty habit to get hooked on, and it's a nasty habit to get rid of, and the reason I bring that up is this. It always starts with one. Drinking's the same way. Alcohol. Drugs are the same way. Pornography's the same way. I mean, so many sins of this world that our flesh can get involved in, they always start with just one. And that's why you have to be careful to obey what Paul says here, and the Lord said through Paul, don't yield yourself to that. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Don't yield yourself to that. Don't yield yourself to that. If you do, you will become sin's servant. By the way, verse 21 and verse 23, we'll get to that eventually, but the end of sin's servitude is death. That's not a pleasant thought. The end of sin's servitude is death. So, first, there's things we should not yield to. And secondly, in this passage, there's some things that we should yield to. Verse 13 says, neither yield ye yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness unto God, but, here's what you should yield to, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yield yourself to God. Remember the illustration here I've been trying to give you tonight. One side, my left side, sin, that's where the devil wants you to be. That's pulling on you. God's on the other side, the right side, and he's pulling me to this side towards righteousness and godliness and holiness and so forth. Yield yourself to God. Okay? Both sides pulling. Yield yourself this way so that the victory is yours. Yield yourself to God. Okay? Remember Sunday? I mentioned this little thing about on Sunday, I had a hard time getting up, didn't want to get up, dragging Harry and all of his family. Remember that? I talked about that on Sunday. What that is, when you force yourself to do what you know God wants you to do, that's yielding yourself unto God. You're forcing yourself. Yourself doesn't want to do it. The flesh doesn't want to do it because it's tired and would rather sleep in and whatnot. Yield yourself unto God. Force, don't get mad at me when I tell you this, but force that rotten flesh of yours to do what God wants you to do. It's real blunt, but it's also real simple. Because the flesh is our enemy. It fights, and the devil uses that to fight against what God wants. So yield yourself unto God. That means, like Sunday, get up out of bed. Take a shower, drink a cup of coffee, get yourself dressed, get off to Sunday school and church. Do what you know God wants you to do. It's the same with Bible reading or giving or witnessing or whatever. Force yourself to do what God wants you to do. Yield yourself to God. See? Yield to God. Yield yourself alive unto God. It's mentioned there in verse 13. But yield yourself, I'm in the middle of the verse, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So again, the hands, feet, legs, arms, eyes, ears, mind, the members of you, yield them as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yield your members. Our members, you notice here in your notes, our members, when withdrawn from the service of sin, are not to be idle, but rather used in the service of God. Just as sinning sets the pattern for more sinning, even so righteousness sets the pattern for more righteousness. The more you and I yield to righteousness, the easier that will become. The easier that will become. You know this. We all know this if you stop and think about it. When a person starts missing their Bible reading or giving or going to church or praying or whatever it is, when a person starts missing any of these things, the longer you stay out of it, the harder it is to get started again. It's very true. The longer you stay out of it, the harder it is to get back started again. But also, when you yield yourself to the Lord and you're wanting to do righteousness and do right and do what God wants you to do, the more often you yield to that, the harder it is to stop. I don't know about you. Every once in a while, we'll miss a day of Bible reading. Every once in a while. It doesn't happen often, but every once in a while. Something happened, something out of the ordinary. Something got you out of your normal routine and schedule and so forth. And you miss a day of Bible reading. I don't know about you. I don't like to be in that spot. No. It's not a pride thing. It's just, I don't want to get behind in my schedule, for one thing. Okay? But number two, it's just like, you feel it inside. You're missing something. So as soon as we can, we try to catch up, right? And thankfully, we've been, staying right with it. And I'm not, hope you understand, we don't miss often, but every once in a while, things like that do happen. So when you have a habit of doing the right thing, it's harder to stop doing the right thing. And I think that's kind of what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Keep yielding yourself to God, and you won't find yourself doing the sin and the unrighteousness, okay? So you yield yourself to God, and you yield yourself alive unto God, and you yield your members as instruments of righteousness. And there's some reasons given here. Obedience to God is righteousness. Look at, if you would, verse 14. Let's read there. For sin, remember he's writing to Christians, for sin shall not have dominion over you. You know what he's saying here? It's not natural that sin has dominion over a Christian. It's not the natural order of things that sin would have dominion over a Christian. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. You know these folks that say, well, you folks that believe in saving grace and eternal security and all that, you just believe that you can live any way you want to and get by with it. No, that's not at all what the Bible says. You got the totally wrong understanding of what the Bible teaches, because the Bible doesn't teach that whatsoever. The Bible, in fact, does teach us that when we are saved, we're not going to want to go back into the world and back into sinful habits and unrighteousness. We have the power within us to do what's right and to keep on going in that direction. God forbid. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, that's on my left side, remember that, or of obedience unto righteousness, that's on my right side.
Whichever side you yield to, you become its servant. So if I'm yielding constantly to sin and unrighteousness and immorality and the devil's side, I'll become its servant. If I continually yield myself to the Lord and to righteousness and godliness and holiness, I will become God's servant. See? And I have the power to do that, and the choice is mine because of the Spirit of God that lives within me. So whoever you yield yourself to, you're going to become its servant. Verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were, you know, that's past tense, right? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Boy, there was a time, wasn't there, when yielding towards the sin side, that's all we could do. We were, in a sense, shackled to that. Right, Kathy? The name of the program is what? Unshackled. That's right. Ye were the servants of sin. You were shackled to that. That's all you could do. But now you were made, according to verse 18, you were made free from that. You are now unshackled. See? Now you have the choice to choose which way you want to go. I don't know about you. I want to go this way. I want to be on God's side. I want to be one of His children, walking with Him and representing Him to others. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Can we all be really honest and say that our flesh is an infirmity? It is, isn't it? One of the reasons why I'm looking forward to going to heaven, of course, is to see the Lord Jesus and thank Him for saving me. But another reason, a second reason is, there won't be any more any temptation to do sin. And I'm looking forward to that. You ever been disappointed with yourself for doing something you know you shouldn't have done? Sure. Most every believer's been there at one time or another. Lord, please forgive me. I did it again. Please forgive me. We are living in flesh, which is an infirmity to us. Verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have, past tense again, yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, you know, just over and over, compounding itself. Even so now, you know, that was the past, but even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Let that compound. Okay? Let that keep building upon itself. For verse 20, for when ye were the servants of sin, again, past tense, when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? Think about this. Where does a person's life lead who's totally captured by sin? Does it lead for the better or to the worse? Always to the worse, right? Always. You see somebody who you see somebody who's beginning in sinful habits, you know where that's going to end up. Unless something changes, you know where that's going to end up. And then you see somebody who's been in sin for quite a while, and you can tell they've been in sin for quite a while. Because what's the result of that? It's not good. Your life doesn't get better. Your life gets worse. I mean, what are so many of the country and western songs of years ago, anyway? I don't know about today, but country and western songs of years ago all about? You lost your home, you lost your job, you lost your wife, you lost your dog, right? They say if you play the record backwards, you get all that back, but I don't know about that. But that's what the country and western songs of years ago were all about, because that's where sin ends up. That's where sin always ends up. Always to the trash heap, really, of life. What fruit had ye then, verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, again, that verse 21, that's past for us. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. So, you know, yielding yourself. So we already talked about if you yield yourself that way, where that's going to end up. What about this side over here? If I continually yield myself to God and allow Him to have control, what's the end result for that? Well, eternal life, right? And better and better and better things. Is it great to be a Christian? Do you know it's going to get even greater when we get to heaven? I 100% guarantee you that not one person who went to heaven ever regretted getting saved. I 100% guarantee you that. And there's more there than we could ever imagine according to God's word. So the end result of this, it just gets better and better. Bad English, but it gets gooder and gooder. Amen. So the Bible is saying here to us, verse 22, but now, this is present, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Now the comparison of this struggle between, you know, sin and righteousness or the devil and God is summed up here in verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. That's on my left. The end result of yielding to that continually, you're going to end up death, both physical and spiritual. The latter half of that verse says, but the gift of God, that's yielding yourself to God and to righteousness, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's the comparison in verse 23. Which one are you going to yield to? Well, I don't know about you. I want to yield to the Lord and what God wants me to do. Now, in your notes here, under yield things you should yield to, number four, reasons given. Obedience to God is righteousness, verse 16. Verse 18, you are free from sin. Verse 19, righteousness brings holiness. Verse 22 and 23, the end of righteousness is eternal life. Third, how do we do that? So first, things you should not yield to. Second, what you should yield to. Third, how do we do that? Verse 17, it comes from the heart. It comes from the heart. Nobody can make that choice for you. You must choose it yourself from your heart. It involves a choice. You can choose to yield, which means present yourself to sin, or you can choose to yield, present yourself to righteousness. This is important. Let her be there. The choice is yours to make on a daily basis. We all need to understand, don't we? This is not a one-time decision. This is an everyday decision. It's kind of like this. Some of you have Facebook, I think, but if you've ever seen on Facebook or probably other places too, I suppose, but I've seen this several times where somebody would post this. Sunday church is a Saturday decision.
That's good.
It's very true, isn't it? Decide on Saturday night you're going to go to church on Sunday morning. But the same thing is true in this matter of yielding. It's a choice that you get to make. And it's really up to you. Nobody can make the choice for you. You have to choose who you're going to yield to on a daily basis. Maybe I should say it this way, on a moment-by-moment basis. Yeah, because it's not even a one-time-per-day decision. But it's continuous, see? Because we know this, don't we? The devil is constantly bringing temptations. He's constantly presenting things that he knows will tempt you and try to get you on the wrong path. So you have to continually make that choice to yield to the Lord. Now, in the conclusion of our notes here, and then I got to wrap this up, this chapter deals with the subject of sanctification. Sanctification, or how to have victory over the old nature. Let's review what we've learned. Number one, know that you do not have to sin. Know you died with Christ. Know your old nature has been crucified. Know that a dead man is free from the power of sin. Know that you have the power through Christ to reject sin and choose righteousness. Know that victory over the old nature comes on a day-to-day basis. Second word is the word reckon. Reckon yourself dead to sin. Reckon yourself alive unto God. Third word is yield. Letter A there, don't yield to sin. B, do yield to righteousness. C, remember, sinning sets the pattern for more sinning. Righteousness sets the pattern for more righteousness. If you can remember that the choice is yours to make, and the Holy Spirit will help you to make the right choice if you'll let Him. And just moment by moment, choose God's way.
Choose God's way. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity tonight to talk about this subject of sanctification and yielding ourselves to your control and your dominion in our life. Help us to do that, Lord. We find ourselves slipping sometimes and making bad choices. Thank you for being patient with us and continually working with us. Please don't ever give up on us, Lord. I know you won't. But help us day by day and moment by moment to yield to you and what you want for our life. Bless us now as we close this Bible study. In Jesus' name, amen.